Welcome to Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. I'm your host, Kathy Nelson, an electrical engineer who loves to hear and share stories of other women in STEM. I get so excited when I get to sit down with young women who are just starting out in engineering or whatever their STEM field is. There's just so much excitement, and it brings me back to the days that I was a new engineer, and it's just so much fun to hear their experiences and their perspectives, because they've changed over time from when I was in engineering school. Today, I sit down with Madison Sidebottom. She is a civil engineer currently working to obtain her professional surveyor license. She has a bachelor's degree in civil engineering, and we really have such a great conversation about the challenges of starting out in engineering, particularly if you are one of the only women in your company. Madison shares what got her interested in civil engineering, cows, and what she wants to do in the future, run the world. I really hope that you enjoy Madison's story. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast this morning. Thank you for joining me.
I'm sorry about the confusion.
That was me. That was totally on me.
You're good.
You are a civil engineer. You've been out in the workforce for about 4 years. So tell me what you do for a job.
Right now, I am a survey tech is my job title.
Okay.
I've been doing that for 2 years. So I am the person that after somebody surveys out in the field, I get all the information and I put it together for a package for clients. I'm in the Boundary Alta Topo group. I do the research or as-built for any, we do residential mainly, but we can do transportation stuff too, but mostly Boundary.
So are you doing like plat maps? Is that a lot of what you're doing?
We have a plat group. I'm not a part of the plat group. I'm the pre-plat. So I'm doing the initial boundary work for developers before they get in the plats.
Okay. The place that I live, so we rebuilt our house like, I don't know, 9-10 years ago. So we had a survey done, and then our neighbors had a survey done, and I think last year, because their dad died. I live in like a very rural area. We live on a lake. Mm-hmm. Their survey had our boundaries like 5 feet different than our survey, mm-hmm. which I have no idea how that happens. Do you have any idea how that happens if you're doing this? Like, it was kind of like puzzling to me, like how, like, we're like, and who's right?
Who's right is, it's definitely a challenge sometimes, because we encroachments happen, but it's, if you do your due diligence and get like your property and the adjoining property, like you have to do all the deeds that touch the property and the right of ways. And once you've, it's like a giant puzzle. So when you're putting it together, there is going to be some errors, but you kind of figure it out, because there's evidence in the field when you have like your iron rods and your monuments and things like that. So, but it's complicated sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, I don't know that, like, I didn't really think too much about it until we had this, and I'm like, well, I don't know how we resolve it, or even if it necessarily matters, because it's like the sides of our yard. It's not like there's any mm-hmm. buildings or anything. So I'm not necessarily sure that it matters. But so what about, now you're making me think about, like, how do you necessarily figure that out? Because I think, like, I mean, land in like really old land, mm-hmm. like, that was kind of like very like vaguely described, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. My parents are actually going through this right now. Their neighbors are getting, my parents live on a 600-acre farm in Kentucky, and they're going through this. There's, our neighbors getting their survey done, and I read the deed, and it said to a tree, like to an oak tree. And I'm like, that oak tree fell down like 30 years ago. There's a fence right there now. So they're trying to modernize their survey, and they have encroachments, and you just, what they're trying to do is just agree on something. Either mm-hmm. they pay, or you just like, we'll be neighborly and agree on it. Or you get some, or my parents get somebody out there and figure it out, which I'm the person to figure it out.
It sounds really complicated. Do you enjoy doing it? Do you like doing it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's I haven't done a boundary in a couple weeks because I've been doing as-built, but I really enjoy reading the history because it's history but it's modern at the same time, and you get to fit everything. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
Do you get landowners that get like angry and stuff that you have to deal with? Or I'm kind of guessing like in your role, you probably aren't, because you're probably not front facing.
I used to survey, I interned and I was out in the field doing it. And we did have people that were very angry, but we talked to them ahead of time saying, hey, we're going to be out here. Is it okay? And then they forget. And then you some guy with a shotgun outside, like, why are you out here? Well, he gave us permission that we could be out here. And your neighbor, it just depends on where you're at. out in the country, it's a little bit difficult.
I can only imagine. And then you probably have dogs, and now people have cameras and Ring and stuff that they can like see when you're out there, and people can be pretty crazy.
I don't do it anymore. My time's over for that.
Well, but I think though, I think that I don't want to say like experiencing it, because I don't think anyone should experience that, but understanding what other people that are in the field do and experience, though, I think is important. I think it makes you have a better understanding and a little bit more, just compassion for what people go through in their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand when a field guy's like, I couldn't get this. I'm like, that's okay. I'll figure it out somewhere else. I'll try to find it.
Yeah, people are weird. So what is a day in your life like your job day?
I go to the office. I'm on the computer working AutoCAD, Civil 3D mostly. So I get points from our field guys, or we do LiDAR topos too.
Yep.
So I import those and label it and make sure it looks nice. I tell my mom asks me what I do, and I say, I just make things look pretty, and then I send it off to people. Other people do the real work. I make it look pretty and then send it to make it so they know what they're looking at.
Okay. So speaking of that, what do your parents do?
My mom is a sixth grade science teacher and my dad is a dairy farmer.
Okay. Yeah. So were they influential in you wanting to be an engineer?
They played a part in it. I didn't grow up in a place where you had a lot of engineers, especially women. But I always knew that I wanted to go into STEM. It was a long time before I figured out what part.
Yeah.
But I had science all around me growing up. My dad did chemistry, doing spraying fields for crops, and my mom was a teacher, so she was a science teacher, so I've had that influence the whole time. But engineering was a type of thing that I didn't know was possible until my parents built a new milk barn when I was in high school. I got to see the plans and see them pour the concrete, and I was like, this is awesome. This is so cool. How do I get to do this the whole time? How do I get to be able to build something like this, because this is awesome. They designed certain grades to cater to cows.
Oh, really?
If you do it at a certain percent slope, a cow will automatically move, because they don't like their sloped butts ahead of their tail heads. So if you slope,
I don't blame them. I don't like to camp that way either.
So if you do it like that, it'll automatically make them impulse to go into the milk barn, so you don't have to work as hard as pushing them into to get milked every day. So it was little stuff like that that was interesting to me.
And where did you grow up? Was it Kentucky?
Kentucky. Yeah, I'm from Kentucky. Grew up in a small town. I graduated with 98 people in my graduating class, so very small. And that's the whole county. So that's everybody in the whole county. It's 98 that year. So
So you said that you didn't, that you, like, you weren't around a lot of engineers, and it wasn't something that you were really aware of in the area that you grew up in. Like, what do most people do? Like, what do people generally do for jobs there?
Farmer, teacher, nurse. If they did anything else, they usually drove somewhere. As either medical field, teacher, or farmer is your basic. Mm.
So basically like what you would have in a small community, because there's probably not like industry or things like that.
Yeah, there was nothing like that.
So it makes me wonder, how do we get past that? Like one of the things that I think about a lot lately is, how do we get women in STEM into mass media, into movies, into books, into making it, like, normalizing it and making it everyday life, so it's something that just people grow up with and not something like, regardless of whether you're male or female, like, being able to see those jobs. But I mean, obviously this is a podcast about women in STEM, but, you know, like, having women in STEM in, you know, just what we see in on TV and stuff, I think is really important. I don't really know how we get there, how we make that change, but I think that that's, I don't know any other way of getting, like, past it. I mean, there's a lot of books on, like, and not a lot, there are books now on, like, women in STEM and girls in STEM and stuff, but I just think normalizing it, so it's not, you don't have to find a book on women in STEM. It's just part of our general society.
Yeah. I don't know, but the first career I thought I was going to have when I was 6 was a paleontologist.
Really?
Because of Laura Dern on Jurassic Park. I love that movie. And I was upset. I remember reading all the about dinosaurs forever. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I eventually changed my mind. Because being a paleontologist would scare me now because of the geology.
Did you read that they, like, just found, was it dinosaur tracks from like 113 million years ago? Because I can't remember the river that dried up. There's a river that just dried up, like, within like the last week, and they found like dinosaur tracks.
No.
I'll put it into the show notes, like, what it is, but I thought that was, like, fascinating. I'm like,
awesome.
All kinds of, I mean, obviously climate change is very, very bad and rivers drying up is very, very bad, but there's a lot of, like, really interesting things that have been hidden that are now coming out. Hopefully the rivers will fill up again, because, you know, water is pretty important.
It's very important.
although you guys, are you in the area of Kentucky that's had, because there's been, like, a lot of floods in Kentucky.
My parents are not in that part. Okay. We're in the central part, right in smack dab in the middle. That was eastern Kentucky that got really hard.
Yeah, too much water, also bad. How did you decide that you wanted to go into civil engineering? Or, I mean, honestly, it actually sounds like the concrete slope could actually, like, is it completely that? And that was, like, you just, like, realized that is civil engineering, and that's, well, what made you want to go that route? Or how did you pick civil engineering versus a different kind of engineering?
I was a freshman when that happened, and that sparked it. I don't think that was, like, the moment, like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do for. We did tests on what your, like, compatibility tests for jobs. Mm-hmm. And that was in my top 10. And I knew a couple of boys that went to my high school that were going. And I thought, because they were good at math, they were good at science, and I was like, I'm good at math, I'm good at science, I can do this. And you got to be outside for most of it, so I was like, sign me up, because it kind of fit with everything that I wanted to do. I liked being outside. I grew up a farm girl, so I was constantly outside. I played sports. There wasn't a time that I was inside most of my childhood. Like, I was always out doing something. So that interests me. And architecture also was a big interest of mine my senior year, because I thought I could draw a little bit. I made friends with some architect majors in college. I cannot draw as good as they can. So I was like, good thing I chose the math and science part.
So I think that's really interesting. So I wanted to be an architect from third grade until my freshman year of college. Like I was going to be an architect. I've talked a little bit about this before. I got to shadow a female architect when I was in between second and third grade for a week, which, I mean, I'm 51 years old. So when I was in second and third grade, this would have been like the late 70s, early 80s. The fact that there was a program that did that is like phenomenal to me now. Like I never thought about it at the time, but to your point, like I had no idea, like I had to have better math grades and better math ACT scores to go into the College of Architecture, which was a separate college in my university, than I did to get into engineering once I changed majors. But my classes were mostly art, like go sketch buildings or go build something with sticks and stones and then draw it. And I can draw either. And so that's what made me change majors. I'm like, this is not for me. Like, I can't do this. I now think that you can learn to draw just like you can learn math. Like, I think we have these ideas that things are like, you know, innately common, but if you are like, you know, innate, like into like how you can do things, but you can learn just about anything. But that I did not realize that there was so much art in architecture. And so then I was like, yeah, not for me. I'm an electrical engineer. I love what I do. It's been a great pathway for me, but I also, like you said, I didn't realize there was so much art in architecture, and I was not good at art either. But I think it's fascinating. And one of the things that I've like really would like to do, and I'm getting to the point that I'm kind of running out of houses to build in my life, is I really would like to like design my own house.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a lot of work to do as like a side thing. So I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. So where did you go to college, and how was your college experience?
I went to Western Kentucky University, which in Kentucky, there's only three schools that offer engineering at all. So my mom went to Western when she got her degree. Like my family went there. So I chose that. And what was your second question? Sorry.
What was your college experience like?
It was tough for me, actually. I went to a very small school, a very small town, and then all of a sudden I'm surrounded by 8,000 people. Mm-hmm. It was a little daunting. I was used to being one of the top people in the class, and now I am average at best in class. And that is being very, very nice to myself, saying that I was average. It was a challenge. It took some adjusting. Like 2 years into, I was thriving though. There was a core group of girls. I graduated with one girl, but there was a couple underneath me and in a grade below or the class below, and there was a couple in the class above. And we just kind of stuck together and studied, and that helped a lot that I had this companionship. And my first 2 years, I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Because I was the only girl in some of my classes because it was spread out. Yeah. I still experienced the only girl in the class. Mm-hmm. My drafting class, I was the only girl in there, and it was miserable because even though the guys in there were awesome, it was still, I did not know how to talk football just yet.
Well, okay. So I think there's a couple things in there I want to ask you about. So I think I think that's a hard part, right? So like, I didn't so much have this like when I was in college, but when I started my job as an engineer and I worked with a lot of technicians, which I think was actually even harder. I very much like tried to be one of the guys and tried to fit in, and as opposed to being myself. I actually love football. So like football was something I could talk about, but I also don't think that you should have to change your personality to fit into your job. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case quite so much anymore, but I do feel like it's kind of like you want to fit in, you want to have friends, you want to have people that you have things in common with. Men don't do that, right? Like they're not trying to like oh, what can I talk to Madison about? You know what? Right. They're not thinking about that. That's not something that's even like in their head whatsoever. And, you know, like almost every woman I know has, you know, gone through like, you know, I need to understand sports or I need to do this, or not to say that sports are a guy thing either. Like, I don't want to generalize that. But, you know, just changing things that you're interested in so that you have something to talk to them about. The other thing I want to ask about, because this, so I've got one daughter in college right now. I have one that's graduated, one that's in college, and then I've got a boy that's in high school. And I am part of this Facebook group of parents of the college that my daughter goes to. And I also experienced this myself with my oldest daughter when she started college, because she started like mid-year and they put her in a single dorm. So it was like really, really hard just to start. So you talked about the first couple of years were hard. What did you do to try to adjust? How long did it take you? Well, you kind of said 2 years. So,
well,
but what kind of things did you do? And are there things that you look back and wish you would have done differently? Because it's hard. I think it can be really, really hard.
I didn't. It was the beginning of my second year, that my sophomore year, that it was getting better. I made some friends that weren't in engineering. Mm-hmm. So they got me out doing other things outside my dorm. I do wish we have senior projects, and but the underclassmen got the help. So it was Concrete Canoe was my senior project. And so you build a concrete canoe and you race it and present it.
And your concrete canoe, I'm assuming, has to float.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have to float it. It has to float. So that was every year, every class did that one-on-one. And we went to regionals. And if you did good at regionals, went to nationals. And So underclassmen were allowed to work on it with the upperclassmen. And I wish I had started. I didn't even do it until a little bit my junior year, and then completely my senior year, because it was my and part of my project is my grade. So So I wish I had done that, so I would have been a little bit more comfortable sooner. I had opportunities. I was just a little scared.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's hard. I mean, I think there's a few things in there. Like, you're coming from a small town. I don't know if you're a shy person or not. I think a lot of people in STEM are. So I think there's that piece. The fact that you are, like you said, like one of two women in your graduating class, I think that's hard. There's all these things that make it challenging, and all these things that are like so outside of your comfort zone that I think it can just feel like overwhelming.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm incredibly shy. It takes me a little bit. I've really had to push myself since college to even make friends as an adult, outside of work and outside of trying to get outside of what I do now, because now we have one woman working in the office with us, but before that it was just me. So for almost a year and a half, I was the only woman engineer. We had other women, but they don't do what I do. So it was kind of hard to talk to them about.
Right. So you don't fit with them either. Yeah. I totally get this, right? Like, you're an anomaly, like with the women, you're an anomaly with the men. You're like, where do I go? Where do I fit?
Yes.
And I had the same issue. I went when I started at my first job. There was one other woman. She was in a different another woman engineer. She was in a different area. She actually is like one of my good friends still, and this is like 30 years later. But for a long time, and then she left like 3 years after I got there. So then I was the only woman for a long time. Then we merged with another company, and like we got, you know, hired women over time. And there was one point in time that I was coordinating like women engineers lunches. And I'm like, oh, this used to just be me sitting in the cafeteria by myself. And now we have a group. It was like, it was so awesome, but I didn't have that when I started either. And it's hard. And I had moved across the state, and I live in Minnesota, and I swear people here have been friends with the same people since they were in like daycare together. And even just moving across the state was hard, and trying to make friends. I now work remotely for a company that's out of Chicago. So I obviously don't have like the opportunity to hang out with I still think it's hard to make friends. Like I still have a hard time with that. I don't know if it's a shy, I barely leave my house these days because of COVID. I think it's a really, really hard challenge. And, that's obviously, I mean, that's not a unique thing to engineering. I think it can be something that's hard, and I don't know how to get over that either.
I've made myself, do other things. So I'm definitely, if it was up to me, I would be home all the time too. But being in the office kind of helps get out, and I do other things outside of work. So
we talked about you like not like there not being like many women. How have the men that you have gone to school with and the men that you have worked with, have they been welcoming? Have they been friendly? Did you have any issues with like professors in college? What kind of experiences have you had?
The men I work with now are fantastic. I cannot say that about every man I've worked with.
I don't think any of us can.
both my supervisors are men, and they've both been working, and they're fantastic. They treat me equally. I can say that. When I worked in the field, I worked in the field for 2 years, and it was not the best experience. And one job site, they saw me as more of a liability, I feel like, being out there, even though I was doing all the work. I was a field engineer. I was doing the work for them, pretty much. I was one taking notes and doing the calculations and telling them what needed to be done. But they wanted me far away, or he wanted me far away from everything, and would tell me, hey, you don't need to come do this because it's too dangerous. And I was like, I'm in a truck and I know the rules, so I think I'm going to still be doing this. Yeah.
So, God, I hate that stuff so much. Did you feel like you had to prove yourself more? Did you get to the point that they thought that you had proved yourself, so they were more accepting? Did you end up going into taking an inside job because of that experience, or kind of like what happened?
It was a different company than who I work for now. So I don't work for them anymore. But
did you leave because of that?
No, I left. COVID was the reason that I left. Okay. Yeah. I should have left because of that. I was very passive. I worked on this job site 8 months, and the first three, I was very passive because I was new. I was like, I don't know anything.
Yeah, you don't know. It's hard, right? It's like you're trying to figure so much shit out.
Yeah. It was my first job outside of college. It's first thing, and they throw me out here, and he's telling me it's too dangerous, you shouldn't be out here. I just had to learn. I had the contractor's assistant project manager just say, just go do it. And she just had to tell me so many times, like, just do it, it's gonna be fine, what's he gonna do, right? Go do your job. And I was like, okay. And I just went out and did my job. And then the other higher ups that would come visit, when I was answering their questions and the field engineer wasn't, it clicked on who is actually out here doing stuff.
It would be nice if said men that you were probably working with that were acting like that would change their behavior based on that, but I'm gonna guess they probably did not, because
oh I didn't see him again after that, so I don't know if he did.
Yeah,
or
I'm
not.
Just gonna get like I.
But I can probably tell you, probably not.
Well, and that's so shitty because you have like, I mean, all the things we talked about, right? Like you're so outside your comfort zone. It's your first job. It's your, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to expect. You feel like, I think just starting a job out of college, you feel like a fish out of water anyway, because you feel like you should know things, except there's like everything you know is theoretical. And there's this whole like practical side of things that you feel like everybody knows all this stuff, but those people that know all that stuff have been working like 20 or 30 years, right? They have this, the huge knowledge base that there's no way that you can know from going to college for 4 years that they have from like practical experience. And so I think you feel so disadvantaged. And then to have people that treat you and purposefully make you feel unwelcome. And I just think it's horrible. I think like, it totally makes me understand how women end up leaving their mm-hmm. professions.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, like, how do we fix it so women can stay in their professions and not, or companies, right?
Right.
And not be made feel like that. I don't know what the answers are. I wish I did. It just sucks.
Yeah. I was lucky because I'm so stubborn and I don't like, have a hard time giving up on things, even though sometimes I think I should earlier. That's the only reason I stuck it out, because I was ready to just quit. I was ready to go. And then I sat down and thought about it. It's like, this is what you've fought for so long. We can make some changes and we don't have to take it from anybody. And that changed my whole perspective on my work life. I was, when I was working in the field, it was 6 12 hour days most of the time. So
oh,
I was stressed, working a lot. It was in Kentucky and I had moved to Tennessee, Nashville. And so I was living in a hotel for a lot of it. So it was just a lot going on at one
that
time.
That seems bigger than your 8,000 student college.
Yeah,
Nashville's
yeah.
Pretty big.
Nashville's pretty big. And being one of the only women out in the field besides their safety woman, and who none of the guys, the construction workers likes. It was a lot, because you had the construction guys like whistling at you, and then
oh,
you had,
good God.
I just was like, just rolled up my window on my truck and just went on with my life. And I didn't want to deal with it, but that is a hard one on how to fix, because I don't know how to do that one.
Those are just other things. Like we just shouldn't have to deal, especially when you're at work, right? I mean,
right.
Not that it should happen anytime.
Right, but it never happened to me outside of work. So, but it's definitely in work.
Well, and maybe in that case, you know, maybe it's almost like purposeful to like make you feel uncomfortable. Like maybe that's what their end goal is.
I don't know about that. I think they were just excited that a young woman was on
oh,
on a job.
Yeah,
site.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, see, so I when I started, so I worked in the utility industry, and I was the first woman in the field at my company, because I was out in the field quite a bit. The first woman engineer that like linemen saw. I didn't have any like behavior like that. I had guys that were like, they'd take me up in the bucket truck, and you know, like they were really super helpful. I feel like I almost had like a good experience for the most part. I mean, I had some not good experiences, but for the most part, I feel like the fact that I was female actually might have been helpful, because I was like so unique mm-hmm. that I feel like some of the field guys like actually like wanted to help me, or you know, help me learn like the field side of things. I don't know. It's but then I also had some like really shitty experiences too, and stuff that were not great. So I don't know. It's it just, you just should be able to do your job, right? Like, and not have to worry about other stuff.
Yeah. I moved to a different job site after that, and I was able to just do my job and do things but I did several different things while I was on that job site instead of doing the one thing that was doing. But that was a better experience. I don't think I've had a true positive experience until where I'm at now in the office. And it's a stable, I would say.
Well, and I think the other hard part about that is it's not like you can't really do anything about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you should be able to, report bad behavior, but then and maybe it's different now, but you know, when I had issues when I was younger, I would always feel like if I said something, you know, the technicians they're not going to want to work with me, and you have to work with these people, right? Like they're not, it's not like you have a choice. I guess, I mean, you could quit, but other than that, you know, if they have to go to talk to HR or something because of something you said. And well, actually, even now I know like women who have tried to do things and it ends up like backfiring on them. And so it's kind of like you're stuck and you have to figure out how to deal with it yourself, even though there might be supposed processes in place to, you know, to, so that stuff doesn't happen. But some companies, maybe some companies have figured it out and do a better job than ones I've had experiences with, but I don't know. It's hard.
It is hard. I went from a really global, huge company, millions of employees, to now hundreds where I work now. And I feel like that has made a difference in that when I personally know the CEO, because his office is right below mine. So that makes a big difference, I think, when dealing with people, not just women or men. We're people that way. We're not a employee number.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So I know that you did an internship. What was your internship experience like?
I interned in Kentucky for a really small company too. And we my first summer, surveyed. So we were out there with two survey techs, me and another girl that I went to college with. We had the same internship. And we would just go out in the field and survey for a water line that I put in. I inspected, watched them put in, make sure it was to at least, I think it was 6 feet deep. They had to put it down. And then I inspected it the next summer, make sure they were putting it at depth. So it was kind of full circle for me, getting the survey.
I think that's pretty unique for a internship to be able to have it be full circle.
Mm-hmm. It was one summer I was making the layout for it, and the next summer I was putting it in for them. So it was awesome.
So was that a better experience than like your first job experience? So and did that help you be able to like navigate your first job experience, which might not have been quite so good? Was that helpful?
Mm-hmm. It was. I thought I'll be fine working in the field, because I thought that's how that went. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm getting to do what I want. I'm getting to see things come to fruition. It just made my passion for like engineering and surveying even just heightened it. And then when I got to my first job, I was probably too optimistic for what was gonna go down.
But you should be able to be that way.
Right. But I got kicked in the mouth a little bit on that one. But yeah, my internship was amazing. And that's when I discovered that I work for a surveyor now. I do surveying work. that's my first taste at surveying, which wasn't something I had thought about when I was in school. I was like, I want to do structures. I want to build bridges. I want to build stadiums and things like that. Then I got into surveying. I'm like, actually, this is probably what I wanted to do. So even though my field work didn't really, it benefited me, but it wasn't, now I see it wasn't what I want to do. Now I'm getting to do what I want to do.
Okay.
For the rest of my life. Yeah.
Do you think that if you hadn't had that good internship experience and then you had gone to your first job where you had a bad experience, do you think it's possible that you would have left engineering in general because of having that bad experience and then your internship helped with that? Or do you think that you would have thought that this is an anomaly and I can go someplace else and have a better experience?
I actually was considering when shutdown happened, and I was like, I'm just kind of here, and I didn't have the experience in CAD as I needed to do that, the field office job that they needed, or the office job that that company needed, and field work was to halt. So I really wasn't doing much at the time, and I was thinking, is this what I want to do? I was considering going to like sports broadcasting because I was obsessed with baseball and getting into football.
Probably another area that there's not a lot of women.
I can't choose anything easy for myself, but it was something I really liked to do. I love sports. I played sports.
You have a good voice. I could see that with you.
My accent would probably not make it to television though.
I was listening to something this morning, like just my, I think it was like on my phone. They have British accents. So
yeah, British accents are well accepted, not a country accent. There's a lot.
No. You could do regional sports broadcasting, I'm sure.
I could. Yeah. But now that I found this job, I don't think going back to school and doing that, that would be too much.
To go to school for that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I had friends that were in broadcasting.
Could you do like high school sports and just do it for like fun, for like a side gig? Because that sounds kind of fun. Honestly.
I could. I could get like a high school, like a softball, baseball league here. Like just announce their games for them.
That sounds like a kind of a fun little side gig. Honestly,
that would be a fun side gig. I'll look that up, see if I can get into that.
Well, and probably like another way to like meet people, right? Like, and have a whole different side of things than you do in the engineering world.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting. So you talk about like you've kind of have found like your place and your groove and the things you like doing. Do you have thoughts about like where you want your career to go?
Oh, absolutely. My main goal is to be boss of everything.
Run the world.
Yeah, run the world and make sure it's done right, because right now it's
like some of the other shit that people have screwed up.
I want, so right now I'm working on getting my license for surveying license. Okay. So that's my main, like my near future goal in the next couple of years is getting licensed, and so I can actually become a professional surveyor and do exactly what I'm doing now, but I get to put my name on it. So, mm-hmm. Which is kind of, it feels special to me when you actually get to put your name on it. So that is what I'm working towards now. But eventually I don't know if I'll stay where I'm at or move on, but I want to be in charge of like a group and do the same work I'm doing now, but on a little bit more of a manager scale. That's That's what my goals are.
Okay. Is there anything that you wish that you would have known or advice that you would have been given that would have been helpful and made things a little bit easier for you?
There's things that I guess I would have liked to have known. I wish I had the skills now, because when I first started, I have a little bit more skills on how to deal with things that are high stress. I did not have that capability.
I feel like you just made me think that we should have like our own class in engineering school on this, right? Like,
actually, all the women are required to go to this class so we learn how to.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Our industry, because it's different. It really is. I wish I had a mentor early on how to do things. I think I found one now. He's my boss, but I feel like I rely on him on a lot of things, and I talk mm-hmm. to him about things. And I don't know. Sometimes I wish I had a female in engineering in my field that could help me along. But right now, this is what I got, and I like him a lot. So,
I think, you know, having different mentors and different people to provide different perspectives is super helpful. And, you know, so having, especially if your boss, if that's somebody that, you know, can provide mentorship, that's great. I had that with my first boss. Thank God I had a wonderful first boss. But I think also, you know, finding, like, I call it my village. Like, I have a village of probably at 6 to 8 at different times of, you know, people that I talk to about different things that I would consider to be my mentors. Some are female, some are male, some are in engineering, some are not in engineering. I think just having like a diverse group of folks to talk with and get perspectives on, connecting with, you know, different women that are in like the surveying profession, which actually I did have another woman on my podcast that's a surveyor. So maybe I'll send you her info if you want to connect with her. I can't remember where she's from. I don't remember where she's from, but anyway, but I think, just, you know, finding people to talk to, just so that you have someone to bounce ideas off of or say, yeah, I've been through that too. I mean, honestly, I think like that's just a big thing, is just having someone like, oh my God, yes, I know how that goes. And I know how that feels. It's affirming, because it makes you feel like you're not crazy. Cause I think half the time you feel like you're crazy and like, am I imagining this? You know, I think it could be so hard, and it can be really lonely sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about or share?
I think I hit all my points that I had written down. I make notes on everything, so.
Me too, but that's because I feel like my memory is starting to go, and I'm like, God, no, I have to write things down. As you know, I have to write things down or I forget. Well, I really have appreciated the conversation. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that you came on the podcast, and I hope that we can stay in touch, and I wish you the best in your career. You have a lot of, I think, fun things to look forward to, and a lot of people that you can be in charge of in the future.
A lot of people. Yeah. Well, thank you. This has been great. It's been a great experience. It's kind of a dream of mine to be on a podcast, so this is kind of cool.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we got the opportunity to do this. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. You can find a list of definitions, acronyms, and a fact check in the episode notes. If you like this podcast, please like it and write a review. And if you'd like to have more episodes delivered right to you, please feel free to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. And please join me for future episodes. Thank you.